Rosie. How are you?
I'm very well. You must be feeling not so very well. Can you just sort of give us the background to this case for people who aren't aware of it?
Yes, of course. First of all, I would like to clarify that was a private prosecution. It was a criminal case. It wasn't the civil case that is still pending, through which Connor is pursuing his rights and he's asking for remedies. This is just a private prosecution under Section 303A of the Penal Code. And according to this section of the Penal Code, the developer, or anybody really, cannot sell or rent or in any other way give possession of a house to a third person which he knows it belongs to another person. So in this case, Connor bought this house and he was, according to the Supreme Court judgment in Cyprus, he was the owner, the beneficial owner, from the moment he filed the contract of sale with the land registry.
And when was that done?
That was done in 2006. In 2006, Connor bought his house with his wife, and they filed the contract with the land registry. They pay 66,000 Cyprus pounds. And later on, because of disputes he had with the developer decided unilaterally to terminate this contract and sell it to another person, although he knew that it belongs to Connor, and although he knew that he should go to court, the civil court, in order to decide whether he could lawfully terminate this contract and sell it to another person.
All right, and if my understanding is correct, he did go ahead and sell it to another person. What I can't understand is how that sale could have gone through, because surely the papers once again had to be registered at the land registry. Don't they double-check file numbers?
Well, the thing is that the second buyer, it seems like she knew about Connor's purchase of this house, and still she carried on buying the house, and that's why in this criminal prosecution we filed the case also against the second buyer, because according to the law, Section 303A, anybody who is entering into transactions of selling or renting or getting a house belonging to another is liable for a criminal offence.
So this 303A actually covers not just the person doing the selling, but also the purchaser or anybody else involved?
Of course, of course. And this is a section that they have never been tested in court, to be honest.
Well, that's the interesting bit, isn't it?
Yes. It has been introduced in 2006, in Cyprus, this section, and it hasn't been used. I haven't come across any other judgment or case where they brought a developer or anybody else in court for this section. It could be much clearer, this section, of course, but as it is, as it stands now, the way I interpret it is that it covers also the beneficial owner, not just the owner of a house who is a legal owner and has the title, but it also covers the person who buys the house, and because the titles are not issued yet, he's covering himself by filing the contract of sale with the land registry. And according to a Supreme Court case of 1999, the buyer of the house files the contract of sale with the land registry, he becomes the owner, the beneficial owner of the house, and the seller is the constructive trustee. And he holds, although he appears to be the owner on the title, the owner, he is not the owner. In equity, which is an English principle, and we follow the English law in this case, the owner of the house is the buyer.
Right. What reason did the judge give? I presume he summed up and said why he decided to actually... Well, you lost the case, didn't you? What was his reasoning?
Well, we were really surprised. The judge, although at the prima facie case, meaning at the point where she would decide whether there is a case to answer and whether the elements of the offense were there, she decided there was a prima facie case. Then she asked the accused to decide whether they would give evidence or just remain silent, which was their right. So they decided not to produce any evidence for in defense of the allegations by the prosecution. And then she carried on having a judgment, and according to this judgment, she decides, among other things, that the fact that the buyer files the contract with the land registry, it doesn't mean that he is the owner of the house.
But hang on a minute. I thought you said the Supreme Court had already established that in a previous case.
Exactly. That's why I have a strong feeling about this, because the Supreme Court, in that case I said to you, which is called Andricos against Georgiou, and is dated 99, it's clear that from the moment that you file the contract with the land registry, you become the owner of the house, you become the beneficial owner of the house in equity. And therefore, and from that moment, the seller, the vendor, cannot sell the house to another person, cannot mortgage this house again, and definitely no transaction can take place unless the buyer consents to that.
So where are we now?
Therefore, I believe that the decision of the judge at this point is, in my opinion, wrong. That's why we will appeal against it, because it does not coincide with the existing applicable case law in Cyprus on this matter.
Right. Where does that leave you now? Because I noticed as well that the lawyer for the developers said that substantial elements of the charges brought simply could not be proved.
The evidence that we produced, it was very straightforward evidence, and it was not a matter of being disputed, because what we use as evidence is the actual contract of sale, and we use the decision of the seller not to proceed with giving the house to Connor. We also use an undertaking which we had from the documents of the accused, and not, it wasn't our document, which was confirming the selling to the second buyer of this house. Under certain conditions, they named it undertaking, but the important thing is that it was a clear evidence that another person had possession of the house, and the law does not just cover the selling; it covers also the renting or giving for possession or license. Everything covers everything. It's not just, you don't need to prove just the selling of a house to another buyer, but you can also show that somebody else is living in the house now.
Right. What's happened to Connor's money?
The Connor's money is still at the hands of the developer, and this is the issue that we will it will be decided in the civil case, which hasn't started yet.
So he's had 66 grand in his pocket for 5 years?
Yes, he has that. In the meantime, Connor and his family, with the two young daughters he has, they're living in a rented accommodation, whereas before they had a very nice house in the UK, which they sold in order to move to Cyprus. They were excited about moving to Cyprus. And then since that decision they made to come to Cyprus, everything turned out to be a disaster. And until today, he is running after these people, trying to pursue his rights. And in the meantime, he's traveling and paying all that money for safeguarding his rights. And it's something that not a lot of people will have the stamina to do, to be honest with you.
Mm. What implications does this case now have in the whole mess that we have in Cyprus when it comes to property transactions, Yanni?
Well, obviously, the messages it gives to somebody, especially who doesn't understand about law, they are very negative. I mean, the people who don't know, when they hear this judgment, which of course is not binding because it's a lower court, and the existing law is the one I said, in my opinion, and the bias are protected. But somebody who hears about this judgment, it probably gets the impression, of course, that even if we file the contract with the land registry, our rights are not protected. This is the wrong message that this case could give to a lot of people.
And what about the new legislation that's being drafted? Have you had a chance to look at that? Because they have been saying now for several years that they are going to do something to try and tighten up the property market, because this has become so widely known now that nobody wants to touch a property in Cyprus with a barge pole, do they?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what is the progress of any legislation on these issues, but there are also thoughts of making more clear the criminal liability of the developers, so it would be easier to prosecute somebody if he behaves the same way and he decides to sell the house to another person or gives the house to somebody else before he terminates the contract. I don't know whether this is something that it would be done or how quickly it would be done, but what I can say is that the existing law, as it is now, and the case of the Supreme Court, it's clear. It says that from the moment the contract is filed with the land registry, the buyer is the owner of the house, and he is the one who can decide whether he would sell it or not. Of course, this is subject to the terms of the contract. And what this means is that if, although I'm the owner, if I don't, let's say, pay all the money I owe to the developer has the right to bring a legal action against me in the civil court and claim his rights under the contract. But in no way he becomes the owner again. Even if there is a breach of contract by my side, by the buyer's side, it doesn't mean that I'm not the owner. Because from the moment I sign the contract and I find it with the land registry, I am the owner. So the law, it protects the buyers. And this is why I think it's sad that we have this kind of judgment. Because although the law protects the buyer, in my opinion, the investors or the buyers, when they hear this judgment of the lower court, they might be convinced that they're not protected.
Mm.
And it puts them off.
Right, Yanni, we're getting short of time here. I mean, what next? You're going to appeal this decision, which is going to be more expense for Connor, I presume, the longer this goes on. How long before you think you may get a satisfactory for you outcome?
Well, I don't know how long, but of course with the appeal we need to get a permit from the Attorney General, because it's a prosecution, to proceed with the appeal, and that's what we're doing now. We're trying to get a permit from the Attorney General to proceed, and it could take another year until the outcome of this private prosecution. Of course, what is the aim for Connor, really, is to get his money back and to be compensated. And all the actions that Connor is doing now, and especially the criminal prosecution, all this, they will help, of course, other people, but I don't think they directly help Connor. Because the private prosecution If they are found guilty, they will be punished, of course. Connor will get nothing. Connor will only get something from a civil case, Rosie. And this is the case that he, will, he has to concentrate, really. But all the things he's doing now, his action, which making aware of people about these things, I think that at the end of the day, they will help a lot of other people.
Well, we all know there are literally thousands of people who have got all sorts of problems with their properties, but we have, unfortunately, to leave it there. Yanis Georgiadis, thank you very much indeed for sparing time and joining us to tell us about it this evening.
It was nice to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Yanis Georgiadis there, Conor O'Dwyer's lawyer, talking there about the judgment handed down yesterday, which he lost, but he is going to appeal it about that property that he bought and has since been sold on to someone else.